Hey, this is Melissa Bartel. This is the Bathtub Mermaid, and this is my post for the Dog Days of Podcasting, 2014, episode 12.
I only touched your love when the tips of my fingers tried to clutch your love. I'm sick of this soap in a bathtub, love. I need something to hold. I feel deluded. As once again I am eluded, and everything is left unconcluded. I need something to hold.
One of my favorite cousins, Kathy, is turning 50 at the end of September. As part of the countdown to her 50th birthday, she has created a blog that has not gone live yet, where she is sharing a story a day for 50 days, although it'll probably be 40 days when we finally take it online, although there will be backdated entries, about her life so that her kids and her grandchildren can have a record of what their mother, their grandmother, was like. For me, because she's 6 years older than I am, she was like the big sister I never had. During the summers in New Jersey when I was a kid, we would go to the beach together. We would go to friends' pools together. She would do my hair. When I was a very, very small child, like a toddler, I was like her living doll. We had a very close connection. Her mother is my mother's first cousin. So we're actually second cousin. I don't know how that works. I think we're second cousins. Her mother is my mother's first cousin. And her mother and I share the same birth date, with a span of 39 years between her mom's birth and mine. Her mother died several years ago of ovarian cancer. Her name is Ginny. And she always used to call me her birthday girl, even when it wasn't the season for our birthday. My birthday is on Sunday, August 17th. But even if it was, you know, December when I was visiting her, she would say, "Oh, there's my birthday girl." We had a very special connection. It was like having another auntie, even though she was technically a cousin. It was a really awesome relationship to have, and we always used to have special things together. But her daughter, Kathy, was very much like a big sister to me for most of my childhood. And then we sort of fell out of contact the way people do when they age and go to college and get married and have children, and our lives took us in vastly different directions. And we reconnected in 2009 when my mother's younger sister got married for her second time to a really lovely man who treats her very well and spoils her rotten and gives her the freedom to do all the creative things that she wants to do while still honoring her need to be independent. She's very lucky, and I'm very happy for the two of them because they've built a marriage that works for them completely. That wedding was the first time that most of us had been together for an occasion that wasn't a funeral in probably 10 years and possibly 20. So it was really, really special that those of us in my generation, that cousin, Kathy, my other cousin, Michelle, who is my mother's brother's oldest daughter, and a couple of other of our cousins and family friends, got to reconnect. Michelle and Kathy and I have stayed in contact since that wedding. We have reforged our ties from childhood, and it's been wonderful. Michelle is 3 years younger than I am, and so for a lot of her life, I was the big sister she never had because she's the oldest in her family and I'm an only child. I have a stepbrother, but we didn't grow up together. And we only lived in the same house for part of high school. So, I mean, sometimes I call him my brother and sometimes I call him my stepbrother. And the reality is that we're not particularly close. We're not enemies or anything. We would totally be there for each other if there was an emergency. And we're polite on national holidays, but we don't really have the connection that comes from knowing someone for their whole life. So my cousin Kathy has been writing all these memories about her grandmother and her mother and her grandfather. And it really jarred me today because I've been editing them a little bit for her, just cleaning up typos and putting them in WordPress because WordPress is not something she has used before and stuff like that. And one of the things that really jarred me was that I realized that the only memory I have of her grandfather is being at his funeral when I was 5 years old. And it was really funny because my memory isn't even of him. It's of this event celebrating his passing. And what I remember from that event are two things. I remember my cousin Joey was there and we were both about the same age and we would always get into trouble together. And I remember that my uncle Eugene, who's a priest, was also there. And Joey and I snuck into his room and gathered up all of the communion wafer because we wanted to taste the cookies. And we got in so much trouble. But that's all I remember. That's the only remember I have even relating to her grandfather. And now, realizing that, it makes much more sense why she was always so close to my grandparents, because even though her own grandmother was very much a part of her life and is still alive, she's 104 and a half, and she's still mostly lucid and lives at home, and she doesn't walk anymore. She broke her hip when she was like 99. And she did the minimum required physical therapy. And she's like, you know what? I'm tired. I don't want to walk anymore. I'm 99 and a half years old. What are you going to do? So she doesn't walk around anymore. But she's still as lucid as she ever was. And what I'm really enjoying about reading all of Kathy's memories is that I'm getting to hear parts of the family stories that I never heard because I wasn't part of that part of the family, or because I wasn't there, because I was living halfway across the country. But I'm also getting to relive memories of my own, and one of them surrounds the family diner. There was a diner in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, called the White Crystal. It was a classic East Coast diner. It had blue vinyl diner stools. It had a bar that faced the kitchen and a bar that faced out to the street. And blue vinyl stools. And I used to, as a very small child, when the diner was empty, go to the stool on the very end and spin and spin and spin until I got yelled at. And my cousin Anthony, who is Kathy's mother's brother, who a lot of them call Tony, and of course to her he's Uncle Tony, but to the diner clientele, he was Moose. Always used to make the family recipe of rice pudding. There are other family recipes. Aunt Molly's was lobster tails in butter. My grandmother made the best tomato sauce ever. My grandfather is the source of my family turkey recipe. But I had a special thing for rice pudding, and I remember being 9 or 10 years old. Nope, definitely nine. 9 years old, because it was... I was nine, and I walked into the diner. I was visiting my grandparents, spending the summer with them because I was a kid, and it was the best place for me to be because there was the beach and the swings, and they didn't work all day, and my mom did. So I walked into the diner on my birthday, and he had wrapped a bowl of rice pudding in tinfoil and made a fake candle out of a rolled-up napkin that he'd painted the end red of and shredded so it looked like a flame and stuck it through the tinfoil. And he said, "We made rice pudding yesterday. Your plane didn't get in until last night. I knew you would be really upset if you didn't have it, so I saved it for you." It's the most awesome thing ever. But it's been really, really lovely getting to reconnect with all those stories. And while she is not a writer by trade, there are certain turns of phrase that she has that immediately snap me back into that diner or that family setting, and hearing all the relatives talk, standing on the balcony overlooking my grandmother's living room with the entire adult family downstairs. It was the 70s, so people still smoked, so they would be smoking and drinking endless cups of really black coffee and playing canasta. And I'm just getting really nostalgic because I said in my last podcast that I always feel like I'm kind of rootless because I don't have a hometown where I grew up in, like, for my whole childhood. But at the same time, I kind of do. I just don't have a local connection there anymore. I have this idea, because I know it's very, very popular in sort of contemporary romantic literature. It's not quite chick lit, and it's not quite formula romances, but there's this trend that I've noticed where people are writing, and I think it started with Debbie McComber stuff, which I think is just a little too sweet, but I know that it's very popular, where people are creating literally whole villages, and like they're writing, one character owns a boutique, and one character owns a cafe, and one character, you know, runs another business, and they all sort of intertwine, but each one is its individual story about whoever is the main character of that book. And I keep thinking, you know, nobody's ever done one around a family diner in New Jersey, but, and it's the perfect thing, because it's this small fishing village that's turned into sort of a gentrified coastal town. It's historic, which means it's got cute buildings and Victorian houses, and it's right on the water. But it also has a working harbor that is both a yacht harbor and a fishing pier. And I keep thinking, you know, I'm struggling to write this science fiction comedy that I've been working on forever, that I know is marketable, but I'm just struggling with it. But I think writing about the diner might be really easy. So I'm telling everyone my idea, and you have to all promise not to steal it. But if you think it's worth it, maybe let me know. I have no more to babble about today. I probably am going to go back to reading things that I actually write before I read them, because when I babble, I take 12 minutes, or like last night it was 20. And when I have a script, I stay under 6. And I don't think anyone should be required to listen to anything that's longer than 6 minutes every day. And on that note, I am signing out. Thank you all for listening. Show notes are at www.bathtubmermaid.com. Dog Days of Podcasting is at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Remember never to let your bathwater get too cold. Cold outside.
Coming off a scary street. Come on inside. Well, I know how it feels, babe, to feel unclean. Most everybody knows to feel that stain so deep inside. Still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes, you can.